welcome to the fourth companion episode of the Borrowed Time podcast. This episode is covering story episodes 8 and 9, and I will be discussing those episodes a bit. So if you haven't listened to them yet, you might want to stop this and go back and listen to them before continuing on with this podcast. I don't know that I'm going to get into any huge spoilers, but you never know what's going to pop out of my mouth. So I'm appreciating everybody who's listening to this. I hope you enjoy these companion episodes. I like bringing them to you. So I'm going to start off talking about the episodes, and then we're going to move into feedback. And we do have some feedback, and then I have an announcement that I'm going to throw in at some random point in the podcast. So episode 8 still has Ness back in 1987, and I wanted him to be able to have a little bit more lengthy conversation with Dr. Bertrand. And so he has the bright idea of, hey, I can move a little bit further back and visit the older Bertrand when he drops off the memory trip for the younger Bertrand. You know, but at the same time, he runs out of time. You know, they spend their time eating pie, and Bertrand tells them about the nefarious plans of the people from Intellisys, that they want to take over the world government. Yeah, it seems a little James Bondish, but at the same time, I didn't just want to have a bad guy that wanted to be the next Biff and be running their own version of Las Vegas. I wanted to up the stakes a bit. And I thought if you really had a thirst for power and a time machine at your disposal, then your horizons are pretty much unlimited. You know, you can manipulate events and people and eliminate people to bring about a situation where you are going to be in ultimate charge of things. And that was the plan that was hatched by John and then Paul, and then Glenn's going to take it over. I just thought that you really gave Ness and Dr. Bertrand, for that matter, but it really made the fact that they needed to succeed in this that much more important, that it wasn't just to, you know, prevent Intellisys from selling it to the highest bidder and making a ton of bucks, that there were definite plans to do bad things. And the only way to prevent that from happening is to keep the device out of their hands. And so we find out that Dr. Bertrand is on a definite timetable, not only from his borrowed time, but just from his body, that he's had, you know, that he's dying. You know, that's why he had to get Ness involved. But kind of paradoxically, you know, they keep running out of time. And in this case, it's Ness hitting the edge of his borrowed time. And we get to kind of see what that feels like. And it doesn't sound pleasant. It sounds kind of like, you know, when you're going to faint. I don't know if you've ever fainted. I've gotten woozy a few times. Fainted once when I was a kid. It's not nice if you haven't done it. You haven't missed anything. But it was kind of like that, but with intense sweating is what I had in mind there. And then Ness goes back home, and he has to go to the doctor's house. And he chooses to get there using an indirect means of following these train tracks and going down to this area where it's like a valley. And that's a real place. In Bloomfield Hills. I used to work in Bloomfield Hills. Coming out the back of the lot of the place where I worked, there was this little path, and it led up to the train tracks. So you were in this valley. And there's this huge bridge that's just like a little two-lane road for access for residences that are on either side. And these steep, steep hills. And I've climbed them. They're not easy, going up or down. And you got the bridge, and you got the graffiti, and all the trash and crap laying all over the place. And I always kind of loved that area. I would go up there at lunches a lot of times and walk around. Sometimes get lucky and see a train go by, both freight trains and Amtrak. You know, so I got to see a whole bunch of stuff there. It was just kind of a nice area. If I needed a break, beat my head against the wall a little bit too long at work, I'd pop up there for 15 minutes and just kind of walk around. And it was just kind of a nice, tranquil area while I was at that job, and I enjoyed that area a bit. So when I was thinking about where to have Bertrand live, that area just popped in my mind, and I thought, oh, that has possibilities. So it's not an area you can get to very easily, but it is there, here in the Bloomfield Hills area. I like the idea of Bertrand having an ego wall with all these pictures. You know, I don't have an ego wall because I don't have any pictures of me shaking hands with anybody. But I like the thought of an ego wall, and you know, that there was a cubbyhole in it behind Nessa's picture. I always kind of like hidden things, you know. Let's have a cubbyhole in the wall. That'd be cool. I'd like to have that here, actually. I should get that put in. And most people probably look at the picture and, you know, think, some college kid. What's so special about that? But behind it is the cubbyhole, which would definitely be out of place amongst, you know, luminaries and business executives and senators and all of that kind of thing. So I thought, that would probably be something that's going to be kind of out of place. It's like that Sesame Street thing. One of these things does not belong. Which one is it? It's a picture of the geeky college kid. That's who doesn't belong. And then we got Glenn picking up the chase again here. He's coming to the house when Ness is. And Ness finds the decoy device, and oh my gosh, Thing One, also known as Maze, gets hit on the head again. Sorry, Jason. Yeah, Maze is having a bad day, bad couple of days. I think I said that last time, but it's continuing. And you know, I did a lot of things in preparation for this book. I took some buses downtown. Yeah, I went to some of the places. Yeah, I went down to Royal Oak and did a scouting trip. I think I mentioned that before. One thing I did not try was hitting somebody in the head with a gun to see if I could knock them out. Just want to say that, you know, no actual humans were harmed in the making of Borrowed Time. So I don't know if it's really easy or hard. I just suspect that it's harder than it seems when you see it on TV or movies, because I know I've hit my head pretty hard just on sinks and cabinets and, you know, pipes that are hanging down or whatever, and I've never knocked myself out. And so I'm thinking it would really take, you know, quite a whack, or maybe it's all in hitting the right spot of the head. I don't know. So just so you know, this is a humane podcast. Nobody was harmed in the making of it, or in the writing of the novel, or in the research of the book. And then when we leave it, I left it on a bit of a cliffhanger here for 9. He's in the house. Glenn is coming. Which fills Ness with at least consternation, if not actual fear. Okay, so let's move on. Let's move on to the announcement. I have an announcement today, and I need a fanfare. So I'm going to take a cue from Grammar Girl and go, that's my announcement fanfare. So my announcement is, one of the things I've been working on, due to a couple of comments that I received, was a forum. Somebody had asked, a couple people had asked me about, hey, are you going to have a forum? It's something I've been thinking about anyway. So I went ahead and set up a forum on a site called Ning, which is a forum site. And so we now have the Keith Hughes community, I chose to call it, at Ning. Very simple URL for that, keithhughes.ning, NING.com. And you can go there, you can sign up. We've got discussions going on a number of issues. We've got a discussion going on about the Borrowed Time universe. I didn't actually start this discussion, but it's a discussion that Black Saber started. To be able to discuss events that are happening within the Borrowed Time universe in a spoiler-free kind of zone, you know. You know, one of the questions he poses is, how much RAM do you have to travel through time? That's an interesting question. I really haven't thought about that. So there's been some activity on that. I've posted a little bit. I'm kind of scared to post too much because I get writing and I don't want to give stuff away. So... But I am taking part in that. We've got a thread that I started where we were talking about our favorite time travel movies. And thus far, you know, we've been talking about Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. We've been talking about Somewhere in Time, Time Bandits a little, and a few, Groundhog Day, and a couple other ones. I would encourage you to get on and join and participate. We're having a great time. If I'm on, there's a chat functionality is part of it. If I'm on and you want to chat, please do. But I would love it if we could have more people involved in the forum. Yeah, if we could keep that growing, that would be a great thing. So I think another benefit of membership is going to be I'm going to read your name on the companion podcast here. So the people that have joined, I guess I will read this in order of having joined. So we have Jelaine Hughes, Shirley Black Saber, Gary Goodman, and Laura Hughes that have all joined the community, and I hope to have more. So please feel free to join us. And I do have a little bit of feedback, and that is great news. Black Saber, I think Black Saber he's going to get the number one fan of the day. I think of the companion episode number 4, he's the number one fan, and I'll be able to tell you why. But you'll know why by the time we're done. He sent me an email with some very well thought out and very detailed questions about how the time traveling works, as far as, you know, how does the whole thing with like the frequencies work and going from one time to another, and how does getting back to the home frequency work? And it's really too long for me to read. And I wrote him back and explained all that as best I could. And hopefully that made sense to him. I'm not going to read my reply either because it was kind of long. But if that's something you're interested in, email me or post to the forum. I've actually been thinking about at least putting my reply up on the forum. So if you want to see that, yeah, that'd be the best way to do it. Why don't you post to the forum? What's the explanation for how this works? And I'll go ahead and post that up there. We have a voicemail, so let's listen to it right now.
Oh, Keith. Hey, it's Black Saber from Twitter. Let's see, I heard that you did not really have any telephone feedback, and so I thought I'd call in. And then once I listened to the latest chapter, I absolutely had to call in. Maybe it's just me, but I keep finding all of these homages to all of my favorite movies, Yippee-ki-yay being the one from this episode. I want to say, first of all, thank you for taking the time out to write this and podcast it. I know that's not really the easiest thing in the world. I think it's a great book, great story. You've got my attention. I'm dreading the fact that it's going to end soon, and I hope that there's more in the future. And I also want to say that you're a real jerk, you and your cliffhangers. Now I got to wait, I don't know, what is it, a week, 2 weeks for the next episode? Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you, Black Saber. Now you know why he's the number one fan for Companion Episode 4. Because, you know, he's been on the forum, he sent me an email, and he sent me a voicemail. So he's like, he's hit me on all the ways that you can hit me. And we've done some chatting on Twitter too. So we've had some good interaction, and that's great. So, you know, here's an incentive. Want to be the number one fan of Companion Episode 5? You know, Black Saber's set the bar. But in response to his voicemail, yeah, I did throw a lot of homages. You know, like I think I've said, well, in the interview, I think with Andy that I had last time, but you know, I threw a lot of stuff in there. I wrote this just for me, and I found it fun to put references in. And I guess that's kind of a first time novelist thing maybe, but I have a number of them. I haven't been pointing them out because I kind of want people to experience them on their own. If you want to ask me about them, I'll be happy to confirm them. You know, so like I couldn't resist doing a little nod to Die Hard, which is one of my all-time favorite series of movies, is Die Hard. So I kind of had to throw that one in there. But there's a lot of other ones. There's a couple in here that are, one in particular that I think is probably kind of out there and esoteric. Yeah. So I'm kind of interested to see if anybody says, hey, did you get that from? So I can go, yes, I did, but you know, hasn't happened yet. But you never know. So if you want to discuss discuss that. That might be something fun to start a thread about in the forum. And then I just got to say, Guy, I love that you're reaming me out for my cliffhangers. You know, J.C. Hutchins, if you don't know him, he's the king of the cliffhanger. And while I wasn't writing this thinking about podcasting it specifically, I did try to emulate his ability to have a good cliffhanger at the end of chapters. You know, I don't think I pull off as good as JC does, but I got to tell you, I was tickled pink to get an email where somebody is screaming at me about a cliffhanger. But fear not, it's not going to be 2 weeks. It's not going to be 3 weeks. It's just a week, less than a week now, because I post the episodes on Wednesday mornings, usually, before I go to work. So they're usually up early. It won't be that long. And as far as more coming once borrowed time is done, yeah, I'm going to have to cliffhanger you on that again. I'm going to save any comments about what comes after borrowed time until borrowed time's over. I do have some plans. That's really all I'm going to say at this point. But probably in one of the companion episode that follows this, I will be letting you know what I'm thinking as far as going forward. There are plans. I'm not just going to fade away into the ether, lost in the interwebs. I also got some feedback from Twitter. I got a multi-part tweet from Highway Z, which is also known as David Escalant. And David writes, 3 chapters in the borrowed time. I have some feedback for you. Positives are that your plot rocks so far. Also like the mystery woe being woven so far and the perspective you've taken for your first 3 chapters. And this is a comment I thought was interesting. One thing, though, very glad my MP3 player has a fast speed option because you do not read fast enough for me. And thanks for those comments. I find that I don't read fast enough for you kind of interesting, David, just because I have to slow myself down. I could get reading so fast that I kind of sound like, those chipmunks. They're going really, really, really fast, you know, kind of like that. So I've actually had to work to slow myself down so that I can enunciate and so that you can understand me. But maybe as I learn to work my tongue properly in my mouth, I can speed it up. So if anyone else thinks the reading's a little slow, let me know. That can be something I can be working on in the future. But I just kind of laughed when I saw that because that was something I had to specifically do to slow myself down. And then Apex Michigan Bob writes that he's very much liking the story so far. And I appreciate hearing from you guys on Twitter. It's always fun to interact on Twitter about borrowed time or about anything else. All right, well, it looks like this is going to be real close to 20 minutes. So I'm going to end it there. Thanks to all of you for subscribing to Borrowed Time, to listening to Borrowed Time. I hope to see more of you on the forum. And until next time, be seeing you.